The views expressed throughout this podcast are solely those of myself and the guest and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of ATCC or any other institution. Welcome to Behind the Biology, brought to you by ATCC. I'm your host, Dave Remush, and for our final episode of Frank Simeoni, where after exploring ATCC's rich history and transformative growth, we turn our attention to what lies ahead. In this episode, Frank shares his vision for ATCC's next chapter, emphasizing the importance of vertical growth, strategic investment, and embracing revolutionary technologies. He also reflects on the enduring role of standards in ATCC's mission and how they will continue to shape the organization's impact in a rapidly evolving scientific landscape. All right, for the last time in this series anyway, I'm going to say welcome back and thank you once more for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. I'm enjoying it.
So are we. So this episode is always a bit trickier sort of from a topical standpoint, but as per usual, I think it's among the most interesting of our series. It's, you know, what comes next. So in this case, we're talking about, we're talking to you, the ATCC historian, unofficial or official. So the future becomes really interesting. Knowing everything about where ATCC's come from and where we've been, how do you anticipate ATCC will continue to meet the needs of the scientific community in the coming years?
Okay.
I know, it's a big question.
Let me give you a little background on what I call the transformation of the organization. ATCC is a nonprofit organization, but in order to become more viable, we talked about the government contracts in the previous episode. It had to operate more like a business, and that's something that Dr. Cypress spoke about as soon as he came. It got a lot of pushback internally and externally. It's not a business. It's just a nonprofit scientific organization. You can't operate it as a business. Well, it did change to a business, and in many ways, and I won't get into the details of how that worked. But it did result in capitalization. And the capitalization has led to ATCC being financially well off. I won't go into numbers, but much better. One of the things I might say, we could buy another company if we wanted to, a small company. I mean, it's the organization is financially secure. Never before.
Which is really good. Sorry to interrupt, but that's really, we spoke in one of the previous episodes about some of the hardships that ATCC's faced and how Dr. Cypress, I believe it was Dr. Cypress, still managed to not lay anybody off, to not downsize the company, even though it was a difficult time financially. And I don't know, it sounds a little to me like that is part of the motivation behind this capitalization, behind that financial gain, is we still haven't done that. In the years that I've been with ATCC, it hasn't always been flush with cash necessarily or with incoming revenue, but there still hasn't been that loss. I've never seen anybody get laid off.
We've never, that I'm aware of. There was back when Dr. Clark, just before he left in 73, 12 people were laid off. Now, the staff, when I joined in 74, there was only 50 people.
That's sizable.
That's a people, because they didn't have the money. No, and when the issue you were talking about was when the NIH dropped the $1 million a year subsidy.
That's right.
After we got the BEI contract, that was absorbed. He absorbed it. And I remember him talking about that. We're not going to lay anybody off. People may have to move around, but they're going to have jobs. We're going to absorb it. So that was done. And the point I'm making is that the ATCC is now positioned well for what? What do we do? So let me give you, I'm going to try to quote Rene Dubos, was a great scientist, microbiologist. And I reviewed a book for somebody once that he wrote, a biography of Louis Pasteur. And he said, there can be no prospect or even perspective without retrospect. So in order for me to say what I think the future should be. I want to give a little history, not the ATCC itself, but its environment. When ATCC was founded, keep in mind, it was a collection of microorganisms, bacteria and fungi, and it was in the United States for United States use, period. And it has grown what I call horizontally since then. We added cell lines. That was in the 1960s. Of course, all the DNA materials since then, as the technology advanced. In 1980, Dr. Stevenson set up repackagers in Europe and Japan, because we started to get interest. You know, we're getting a lot of orders from outside the country, and shipping was expensive. So we ship a consolidated shipment once a week. They unpack it, they ship to the individual scientists, and those individual scientists pay less for shipping. That they were paying more for shipping than they were for the culture. So by horizontal growth, I mean that we have both, I think, pretty much covered the gamut of materials. We still add materials, because as if new, something new is developed, yeah, we'll add it. And we've also covered the gamut of global distribution. I don't see ATCC growing substantially in the sale or the distribution of biological products. Okay? It'll continue. It may grow a little bit, but we've pretty much, you know, covered that whole area. The government contracts can never be a resource for future development. Never. We were fortunate. You know, who knows what's going to happen with government contracts? So you have to be very careful with government contracts, because they can come and go.
Right.
Where I think, in my opinion, ATCC's future is in what I'll call vertical growth. And what do I mean by that? We've had some vertical events. These would be little blips on the line. I would say the ATCC line slowly going up financially and, you know, activity. And then these little blips. We need a big blip. ATCC has the finances, in my opinion, to invest in a major revolution of some type. What it is, I don't know. But we see technologies like CRISPR, for example. We see major products. I don't know that ATCC would ever get into it. There probably wouldn't be an organism that would be a major product, but you know, a drug or something. I think that ATCC's future depends on the ability to focus the resources, the financial resources, and invest them, just like a venture capitalist might want to buy into a company. They really, really, really do their homework to make sure this is going to be a success. I wouldn't be, if I were running ATCC, I wouldn't be spreading the money around and dabbling around, because what's going to happen if the ATCC revenue doesn't grow as fast as they're spending the money, we're going to go back to where we were before without right. having all the money. So I think the investment in the future is now to focus on get we have good people, get top-notch scientists and spend the money on technology and people that can create something that I call revolutionary for ATCC. Once you do that, let's say trying to think of the society now, and it just slipped my mind. They developed a drug. It's a society, you'd know it if I'd say it. And the drug they developed, spent money developing, is a $1 billion seller. So they're rich. Well, if ATCC came up with something that was generated $1 billion, managing the collections and the day-to-day activities would become, they would not go away, but it right. would become so much easier. You wouldn't be fighting to try to grow and to try to get additional revenue. Now, that's my opinion. You know, I don't know how, I've been out 8 years, so, you know, I don't know the current situation at all, but from the historical perspective, that's what I feel the future should be or would be. We'll see.
And that makes sense. It's I don't know. It's unrelated, but it's very interesting to me. The insatiable need for growth within a company, that status quo maintenance doesn't seem to satisfy. And partially probably because we are this hybrid nonprofit for profit.
No company can ever be satisfied. Any company that says, this is it, we've done what we need to do and we're good, you get in trouble. That's my opinion. So ATCC, my point I'm making is you can't focus on growth in thousands of different areas.
Right. It needs to be targeted.
Maintained. Look at growth in a specific area that you feel has potential. And I think it's a business potential, not a science. What I mean by that is I wouldn't look for an outbreak of, well, we got TB now sniffing around, and there's measles. I wouldn't look for an outbreak of some disease that's going to generate ATCC millions of dollars. It might happen, it might not. We were lucky with H1N1. But I would look for something that is ATCC can invest in that becomes an element of the business that then, you know, generates revenue to support the rest.
Right, because an outbreak is at least ideally temporary. That's not a longitudinal business plan.
That's right. That's right. It's not going to go forever. Exactly.
If we do our jobs right, it's temporary.
If we do our jobs right.
So that makes a lot of sense. I appreciate that.
Is it clear? If you have any questions on what I said.
Yeah.
My opinion. I'm not talking. Nobody else is saying that. I haven't talked to anybody. Nobody else has heard that. You're the first one to hear that. I've never talked to anybody.
But I'll be happy to tell everyone I know as soon as these episodes come out.
He said what?
Because I've got some ideas on that front, but we'll talk about that another time. It really does make a lot of sense. ATCC has done a wonderful job curating a fantastic team of experts in a variety of fields. Surely, and not just scientific, the business side aspects as well.
Exactly.
Surely, if anyone is going to be able to put together a sound business proposal and propose something that is going to warrant that level of investment, the talent's here. We can do that. It's just the motivation that needs to be to match.
And focus, yeah.
Right.
Get everybody working on the same thing. And that's hard. That's hard. But you got the talent. There's no question.
Right. Like you said, the contracts, outbreaks, pandemics, these are all somewhere between unpredictable and seasonal. And neither of those are reliable terms.
Exactly. And the only good thing is ATCC right now is prepared from the standpoint of biologicals, viruses and bacteria, microorganisms, is prepared for any kind of outbreak. Whatever happens, ATCC is in a position to handle it. It's just a question of if it happens and how big it will be.
That's right. Now, to switch gears a little bit, I wonder if you have an opinion on what it means to be a standards organization now versus how that might, if it even will, how that might change in the next coming decades. Namely, what will the concept of standards mean, and what types of standards, are there new types of standards we should be anticipating within the biological sciences?
Well, the answer to the first question is I don't think that the standards, that's a word I want, name, is going to go away. In whatever ATCC gets involved in, standards are going to be absolutely necessary and part of, and that's true in any business. All businesses and all disciplines have standards. Some are mandated. I don't know. It's hard to predict what the next standards would be, because I think it would be a matter of something new, something novel, and I certainly can't imagine it. You're familiar with the PCR process. Of course, I was not that. I did a little bit of DNA work in my early career, but never would have I predicted that. And CRISPR, which I don't pretend to understand, something like that develops comes about. Maybe ATCC could develop it. There would be standards applied to that in many ways in ATCC. If it involves biological material, ATCC would be involved as a standards organization. So I think the standards label, if I will not go away. It will always be there. It may not be the lead, and I don't want to imply that standards is ATCC's mantra. That's what we are. No, we are a standards organization, but the standards are part of everything we do. And so all the stuff, even the contracts, everything we do, so standards permeates everything. But ATCC's primary reason for being is not as a standards organization. It just happens to be a standards organization.
Right. We just enforce a high level of quality.
Yes. The other organizations we talked about, ANSI, for example, that's their reason for existing, standards. It's not the reason for ATCC to exist, but standards are an absolute essential part of what ATCC does.
Which is great because we have such a diverse portfolio. And I don't just mean the repository. The repository is great, but we've, in the last however many years, we've established organoids that yes. are in their own way revolutionary, as CRISPR is increasingly significant methods of cryopreservation, which enforce the standard. It improves the standard even.
Exactly.
Yeah, I, for one, am certainly curious to see what comes down the pike, and I'm particularly excited that I get to be a part of it, no less.
Absolutely. Yes.
Because that's my reason for joining ATCC.
Good
that's
for you.
That's why I came here.
Yeah, I always said that during my career. People asked me, outside people asked me, why do you like working at ATCC? I said, I'm rubbing elbows with experts. And so, you know, I'm not a PhD. So I have a question. I go down the hall to Dr. So-and-so. It's about a virus. Bacteria, I go somebody else. That was absolutely just wonderful. I was, you know, just overwhelmed. And they would, you know, sit down and tell you what's going on. And, you know, and as a manager and a senior manager, you know, it's important, in my opinion, to have people who you can rely on. You can't do everything. You can't be an expert in everything yourself. And so the ability to go to these guys, if we had an outbreak of something or something happened and we had to deal with it, I could run into the scientist and say, okay, tell me about this organism. What's the deal here? And that to me was the most exciting part of it.
It's definitely high on my list too. Like I said, I'm a bioinformatician. I work with a different bug every day. I don't have time to become an expert in most of them before there's another one coming across my desk, but I know somebody who's an expert in all of them, any individual one of them that I have an opportunity to talk to. I'm looking forward specifically as far as standards go. I joined ATCC because bioinformatics does not have standards. It is moving too quickly and it's too new. And as a you know, that's a very broad statement, obviously. But you know, years ago, it was always a conflict of how do we prove that what we're doing is true? How do we prove what we're doing is correct to, you know, the FDA standard, to the CDC standard, to the World Health Organization standard, what have you? Well, my answer eventually became, let's write the standard. Let's create the standard. ATCC is an opportunity for that. We're doing exactly that, and it is incredibly satisfying because I know that it supports everyone else that was in my position, that is in the position I was in. And is that science? I'm not sure sometimes, but it's just as important.
But it is important in what you do, what ATCC has done in the past, and what you do now is you take the lead on developing those standards, but you pull in those organizations that can help you. Like NIST and ANSI and whoever, whatever organization is out there that can help develop those standards. They don't have to be bioinformatics experts. They might be experts on developing standards, but I agree. I mean, bioinformatics, correct me if I'm wrong. When Dr. Cyphus came, he told us, the senior management, he wasn't on board yet. He was just coming in. He had a meeting with the senior management, and he said, this is an information company. He said that the organisms are one thing, but what's key for the future is what's inside of them. Mm-hmm. So bioinformatics is the information, right? You don't manage the bacteria, you manage the data that is associated with them. And
that's right.
I believe that does need a lot of standardization work, and I think that's a wide open field.
That it is. And so here we are, the precipice of reining it in a little bit. Well, unless you have any other predictions, I think this is probably going to close out our series.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think I don't have a crystal ball. I wish I did.
No. We all do. We all wish.
Yeah.
That's all right. Nonetheless, thank you so much, sir. I appreciate all the time you spent with us, and I will be looking for the archive documents that you've referenced in between shows to just flesh out my own curiosity that you have definitely piqued dramatically throughout this.
Excellent. I enjoyed it very much. Thank you.
And that brings our conversation and this series to a close. Frank Simeone has not only walked us through the legacy and evolution of ATCC, but also offered a compelling vision for its future. From investing in transformative technologies to maintaining the integrity of scientific standards, his insights challenge us to think boldly and act strategically. As ATCC stands at the intersection of tradition and innovation, it's clear that its future will be shaped by the same values that have guided it for decades: scientific excellence, thoughtful leadership, and a commitment to global impact.